Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got to get back on the clock. We went very long with Aronde Gadsden, who was in his bag today, Crowder. You could tell OG had some takes he wanted to get out.
Yes.
Hawk is off today. It's Crowder, Solana, and Jimmy. Hawk will be back tomorrow. I'll remind you that we still have to give away our $50 Twin Peaks gift card. We've got a chance for you to win it. Twin Peaks, eat, drink, and watch. The football playoffs, the Heat, Panthers, and more. Keep listening to our show for details on how you could win. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, and scenic views. We'll do that a little bit later. We have Clay Ferrero, who's going to join us for 15 minutes of Heat in the next segment. There is some interesting stuff happening regarding the Jimmy Butler situation, and we don't have time to get into all of it right now, Crowder, but yesterday there was a report from Shams Charania that Jimmy Butler met with Pat Riley face-to-face, and he told him again, like, I want out.
Yes.
And then Shams, he wrote in the report, let me pull it up here, he wrote in the report that the Heat has engaged with multiple teams on a Jimmy trade, but he writes that they have been, quote, hesitant to negotiate further and that Pat Riley has not shown urgency in those talks. And Jimmy Butler apparently would be open to opting into his $52.5 million player option next season only if it helps the Heat facilitate a trade at the end of this season. But again, that's at the end of the season. Jimmy Butler doesn't want to be on this team right now. So
yeah, it's about money, man.
Yeah.
It's about money.
For
like,
sure.
I don't know what's he meeting with Pat about? He's made it clear, like, you're 35. We don't think you could do it anymore. And this is the crazy thing you said earlier. I wrote it down because I want to get back. What the hell is Mickey Arison going to do with this situation?
Well, here's why he's meeting with them, and I expect him when the Heat return home, they finish off their road trip tonight in Los Angeles. He's supposed to be available on Friday against the Denver Nuggets. Here's the situation why I think he's meeting with them. I think everybody understands. This is about money. Jimmy Butler wants his extension. The Heat aren't giving him his extension. Him and Pat have locked into their sides. Neither of them wants to budge. And it is what it is. They want a divorce from each other, right? From everything that we've read. But
yes,
the situation is Friday. If Jimmy Butler is available, how, if you're Eric Spoelstra and you're the Miami Heat, are you comfortable having a player get minutes who you're not sure is trying to help you win basketball games? And from the two sides, I think Pat Riley and Mickey Arison and Coach Spo are all saying, hey, we're in agreement here. The best thing for both parties is for you to move on, right? Like, we're trying to trade you. We're not trying to keep you here. But the Heat aren't just going to say, we'll trade you for peanuts because you're mad and you have to get out of here. Like, they're not going to get nothing in return for Jimmy Butler just to get him out of here. So until we can either, A, find you a trade before the February 6th trade deadline, we expect you to hold up the end of your contract, which is to come here and compete at a high level, which he didn't do the last two times he was on the floor. And if it's the best case scenario for both of us to play out this season and wait until the offseason so you can end up where you want to end up and we feel like we got the right package in return for you, then maybe that's the best scenario here for both sides. We wait until the end of the season. And Jimmy Butler perhaps can look at that and say he could be angry. He can have all the disdain for Pat Riley that he has. Like, that situation doesn't seem like it's getting mended. But does it not benefit him? And Hawk and I were discussing this yesterday. Hawk doesn't think it matters. But does it not benefit him if he's not going to get traded this year to try to compete, to remind everybody the player he's capable of being?
For what? I'm kind of on Hawk's thing. For what? Like, you know what Jimmy Butler is. You know he's mad. You know he's emotional. Minnesota, he did it. Philly, he did it. He got here in the same situation. He's an emotional, very talented three. He is what Jimmy is. Like, I don't think he's going to prove. Like, is Jimmy going to go out there and average 35 for the remainder of the year? He can't do it. It's not his game. Like, so he has to prove that he's going to play passionately. Because to your point, he played those two games and he's sitting in the corner. We all saw it. But what is he proving to the league after how long Jimmy been in the league? 11, what, 12, 13 years? Like, what's he proving?
No, and it's not that he's proving anything to anybody. I think everybody understands who Jimmy is at this age. He's a very good guy, a very great player who in the playoffs can take his game to another level, right? Like, everybody knows that that's who Jimmy Butler is, and he's going to miss games in the regular season. And, you know, part of this is it is on the Heat for thinking that this contract situation would go away, and they would have been able to trade him a lot easier in the offseason, the prior offseason, and they didn't. So, like, there's blame to go around. But I'm just looking at it at the situation now. If the Heat can't get what they want back for Jimmy, and they're not going to trade him before February 6th because it just doesn't make sense for them, then what are the other options here? I'm not saying Jimmy has to go out there and drop 35 points a game and be the best player and be playoff Jimmy every night. That's not what I'm saying. But I don't see any other way where these two parties move forward to try to meet in the middle here. Like, if Jimmy's going to be on the bench and he's going to be on the team and he's going to be in that locker room, then I think he's under contract. He should be trying to help the team win games, which is why I think Mickey Arison wants to meet with him, because they want to explain to him, like, hey, what's the alternative here? You're going to go out there, dog games, and then rip us in the post-game press conference, rip your role in the post-game press conference for the next 2 months? Like, how does that benefit anybody?
Yeah, and all I'm and that's the weird part, and I even said it. I said, when all this comes down to it, said and done, it just puts Eric Spoelstra in a terrible place on game day.
Yeah.
It puts Eric Spoelstra, he's not trying to, you know, figure out when they jump into a 3-2 how he's going to break this zone. No, I have to now worry about my best player on the team. And Jimmy, like I said, I criticize Jimmy. I don't think he's as great as you think he is, but he is a very good player. Is he going to even try to play? Is he going to complain about his role? Is he going to roast me after the game? What if Jimmy goes out and drops 10 in the first, you know, he has 10, 2 steals and 6 rebounds first quarter? Now I have to say, okay, Jimmy's playing well tonight. Let me change my rotation. But I have to have a Jimmy not motivated rotation as well. Just think about that from a Spoelstra standpoint. I got to go into a game saying, if Jimmy's motivated, these are the minutes I'm giving guys. But if I get 8 minutes of Jimmy standing in the corner, hell, okay, now I got to move. You know, I got to play Duncan more. I have to move him into this position. Highsmith has to go here. And it's unfair to send Eric Spoelstra in the game. And you can meet with Jimmy Butler all you want. Pat can meet with him. I don't know why the hell he's meeting with Mickey Arison. What's Mickey going to say to him? Pat makes these decisions. What's Mickey going to buy him a big boat, let him go on a cruise if he plays hard? Like, that was a funny thing to me earlier. He met with Mickey Arison. That makes no sense. But what are we talking about where you have to say, okay, we want to trade you, but we can't trade you. So now we have to figure out night to night how your motivation is going to be. But you need to prove something, but you don't need to prove nothing. It's just it's a really effed up situation that Jimmy has created for the Heat. And, like, what he's going to play the season out some day, some not. It's a player option, Solana. So he can opt in whenever he wants to opt in, and they owe him $52 million. Everyone knows he doesn't want to be here. It's in the media now. Shams Charania is reporting it. I don't know what this package is going to be for Jimmy, but at any moment, Jimmy could wake up and opt into his $52 million. And now that he'd have to move him, the best thing would be for them to be able to move him now, but they're not getting anything. The season plays out and he becomes a free agent and he opts out. But who's going to opt out of $52 million? Jimmy put this whole situation in a nasty place. And I don't know how Mickey Arison's going to fix it.
Yeah, well, I just think he's the team owner, and there's like a severe issue right now within the organization, and the owner wants to try to step in and figure something out. Like, I guess that's the reason he's going to meet with him. But, yeah, I mean, look, would it benefit the Heat to trade him now? Sure. But also, if you're Pat Riley or Andy Ellisberg, you're not just moving him because you're feeling pressure to move him. Like, I understand that standpoint as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this plays out over the next 48 hours. I don't know how it plays out if Jimmy Butler returns and he wants to be on the sideline. But in terms of why it benefits both parties as of now, again, I'm talking moving forward because people want to do revisionist history. They want to crush Pat Riley and call him washed and say they should have known and they should have moved Jimmy Butler prior to the start of the season. They should have known Jimmy would react this way. And like, there's a lot of those points that are valid. But I'm talking now, today, moving forward, how do they handle this? There's more teams.
421 on January 25th.
Right.
How do they move forward with this situation?
If Jimmy Butler, at the end of the season, does not opt into his player option and is an unrestricted free agent, there's only a limited amount of teams. The Brooklyn Nets seem like the only one who can sign him to the type of contract he wants outright. And there was a report that the Brooklyn Nets have no interest. I think I read that in the Herald today. The Brooklyn Nets have no interest in giving Jimmy Butler that contract. They're in rebuild mode. Jimmy doesn't want to go to that team anyways. There are teams, though, if he opted into his player option, $52 million, with the understanding on both sides that it would be moved, he would be moved, it would help facilitate with several other teams an easier path to him being traded and landing where he would want to. And in the offseason, there's more leeway, there's more ways that teams, a third, fourth team can get involved and start moving pieces that you just simply cannot pull through right now in the middle of the year. So that's why I'm saying it might benefit Jimmy to end up where he wants to end up waiting this out. But if the end game is that, then what happens between now and April 12th or April 13th when the season's over, like that's the big question. I don't know.
Solana, let's play it out. Whatever team wants him and they want him with the $52 million option and so they can get a third team involved and everything you just laid out.
Yeah.
Very articulate. I understand exactly what you're saying. What does it benefit Jimmy to continue to play hard for the remainder of the season?
I get it. Like, he could go out there and just – but in my opinion, and you're right, it doesn't benefit him. It doesn't. Teams know what they're getting with Jimmy Butler. He doesn't have to go out there and prove it. And he's only risking injury by going out there and playing hard. I get it. But, bro, as an athlete, you've been in that locker room. You've been in that locker room with Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero for the past six seasons. You've gone to NBA Finals with them. And we're seeing reports now that he doesn't feel like they're capable enough to help him get over the mountaintop and win a championship. You know what? He might be right. But Tyler Hero this year is playing all-star level basketball. Bam Adebayo, he's struggling offensively, but he's still playing great on the side you expect him to be great, and he's busting his ass every game. It's not like he's mailing it in, and you have a group of guys trying to win games. You're in that locker room. If the message from you is, hey, bleep you guys, I don't think you're good enough, I'm not going to try, that, I don't know, like, as an athlete, doesn't that rub you the wrong way?
Yes, it does. But you already rubbed me the wrong way when you took the two games off.
Right, right.
Like, I'm saying, like, Jimmy, they're friends off the court. I'm guaranteed there's no problem. If Jimmy calls Tyler or Bam today, this second, and says, hey, bro, meet me at Komodo. Let's grab some sushi. They're going to show up. They're going to have a great time. They're going to laugh. Their girlfriends are going to pilly-pap in the corner. Like, that side of it, I think is fine. So you want me to tell you the story about the frog and the scorpion?
Nah, I heard about the frog and the scorpion. It was a great story, though. I genuinely loved it.
Great story. So how many times does Jimmy have to sting you for you to know who Jimmy is?
Yeah.
Bam is not a dumb dude. Tyler's not a dumb dude. They can be friends, but as a competitor, to your point, you've already burned me. You've already shown me that you'll give up on a game because you're emotionally attached to whatever your thought is. And he can go to it, and I know how this conversation will go. Same thing. Guys have went to other teams, and I'm like, damn, bro, you going to leave? Man, they offered me more money. Dolphins are disrespecting me. Well, I got you, bro. Man, that's, you know, go do your thing. Keep balling. Like, it's not it's a business decision. Jimmy's making a business decision. And you're emotionally, it might hurt my feelings if I'm Tyler or Bam that Jimmy has evaluated it and said, I'm not the piece to take him to a championship. It might hurt my feelings as a player to the point you're making. But now I've seen how you feel. Now I've seen your approach. Now I've seen a 7-game suspension because you were over there BSing in the corner for 2 games. I've seen what you do. And that 7-game suspension wasn't just what we saw. You said it on the report. It was multiple things that happened. We don't know those multiple things. Jimmy has showed his hand. So why would we expect him now to pull back and go be a good soldier?
Yeah,
and
I get it.
Exactly what he needs to do. He's not going to be a good soldier.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying, meeting with Pat, meeting with Mickey Arison, meeting with Andy Ellisberg, take him on a carnival boat, let him ride the zip line. Jimmy has made his decision. I don't know why we're still fighting this. Jimmy does not want to be here. Find a way to move him. See if you can get a damn second rounder and a 3-and-D guy from whoever the hell he wants to go to and see what happens, bro.
Yeah,
like, I don't know why we're continuing to fight this.
That's not going to happen, though. I can tell you right now, I think there's only one man in that organization that could sit down with Jimmy Butler face-to-face and fix this, and it's Chris Quinn. And it has to happen right now. I need Chris Quinn to get back in a plane and fly down here and meet with Jimmy Butler. We gotta move on because we're going to talk with Clay Ferrero on the other side about this. We have to get to our road to repeat. It's sponsored by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Hockey fans, don't sit this one out. When it's game time, make Celsius a part of your play and get that energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Florida Panthers. The Cats, of course, yesterday won in a shootout 2-1. Spencer Knight came up with some clutch saves yesterday, 26 saves. He stopped 2 of 3 in the shootout. And then Barkey and Anton Lundell scored for the Florida Panthers. They split their 2 games on back-to-back nights. They lost to the Flyers the night before. They have the Red Wings at home starting tomorrow. They host the Ducks on Saturday, and then they fly to Anaheim to face the Ducks on Tuesday. That was your road to repeat. Your headlines, we have to run through these. They're brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. Heat tonight at the Lakers. Jimmy Butler's out. Bam is still questionable. That'll be at 10 p.m. I'll get you started at 8:45 with pre-heat. Canes Hoops did lose at Duke last night. They got blown out. They're 0-6 in ACC play. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. It is partly cloudy in South Florida. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the mid-70s. That is your weather. We'll do 15 minutes of heat with Clay Ferrero of Local 10 coming up next after this break on the Hockman and Crowder Show.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
You, Brooks Koepka!
Hock and Crowder.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Clay Ferrero is joining us now, sports anchor and reporter on WPLG Local 10 in Miami. This is our 15-minute to heat segment sponsored by Hollywood Kia. The big game is here. Tackle game-winning deals during the handoff drive-off event at Hollywood Kia. Get $1,000 lease bonus cash towards your new Kia. Plus, we're going to double your down payment up to $3,000 online at HollywoodKia.com. Clay Ferrero joins us now. Clay, where is your head at right now with this entire Jimmy Butler situation? Because Crowder and I, we had the entire conversation in the previous segment. He's eligible to be back Friday. He met with Riley. He told him he wants out. He's supposed to meet with Mickey Arison. And I just, you know, my message to Crowder was, I don't know how the Heat can incorporate him back on the floor if he's not playing hard. Like, what's your best guess to how this situation plays out over the next 48 hours?
I have no clue, and that's why it's fascinating, and it's going to be great cinema. I really hope that he's there, and I really hope – I mean, the perfect world would be him coming back and trying to relive that Timberwolves scrimmage that we've all heard about so much from, you know, a few years ago when he wanted to get traded out of Minnesota, and he didn't want to play with Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Wiggins anymore, and he's screaming at Tom Thibodeau and the GM, "You need me, you bleeping need me," and he's going out there and dominating the starters with a group of third stringers. Like, I would love for him to just go out there with, like, end of the bench players and just dominate on Friday night, dominate the Denver Nuggets. I think that would be the best, because it'd just be a great storyline. But I don't foresee that happening. I just feel like the only thing that I think we know beyond a shadow of a doubt at this point is that the relationship is broken to the point that he's not going to be back here long term. But I could see a world where he plays out the season. I don't know how well he's going to play. I don't know if he's able to stay healthy, because I think that's been a big problem for him, you know, separate from this situation. But, you know, I'm watching. I'm hoping that he plays on Friday night, and I'm hoping that we have, like, one more Jimmy Butler memory. And at this point, whether it's good or bad, I think at least he'll give us a talking point.
And, Clay, I keep saying, man, I understand the business. I understand Jimmy's frustration, everything, you know, Pat Riley being who Pat Riley is, and he's not going to take no crap from anybody, all of that. But doesn't this all fall back on Spo? Clay, you coach basketball. Like, I don't know. Spo doesn't know night to night. If let's say Jimmy goes out and plays, I don't know if he's going to stand in the corner or he's going to go out there and really try to win basketball games. Like, how does Spo approach if Jimmy does come back?
Yeah, well, it's a challenge. And I think the one thing that the Heat have shown during this process is they're documenting everything. And they know what kind of player that Jimmy can be. So if he's not playing at the level that he's supposed to, it's either because he's hurt or because he's choosing not to. And I think they'll have plenty of instances, plenty of things to show on film to back up whatever assertion that they come out of if they believe that Jimmy isn't giving his all. So it's weird that we're in this place. I think the biggest problem that is kind of going unsaid at this point is that the truth hurts. And the truth right now is that, for the most part, the league views Jimmy Butler as not worth that max contract. And so there is one team right now that is desperate enough to give it to him, and it's because their season isn't going well and they've got no other options. That's the Phoenix Suns. The problem for them is the Heat aren't desperate. The Heat at this point, all the offers that they're getting, they'd be better off just having Jimmy Butler show up to the arena and sit on the bench. There is no reason for the Heat to get desperate and take on a bad contract because they're better off just moving on. So I just think what we're seeing with this whole thing, it's a shame that it's ending this way. And yet Jimmy Butler and his side and the Phoenix Suns are the only ones here that are desperate. The Heat are not desperate. And any team that's trying to help them facilitate a trade, they're not going to be desperate either. And I think that's where Jimmy is stuck because the truth hurts.
But Clay, that's funny. We talked about that as well. He forced his way out of Chicago with bad intentions or just, you know, not say negativity, but not a happy departure.
He told the coach that he hated him, basically, right, Clay? Like, that's what happened in Chicago.
He forced himself out of Chicago. You brought up Minnesota, Clay, where he went out there with a Rolex on and jean shorts and whooped the starters and yelled, "Y'all need me." Why are we surprised that his exit is nasty? It's always nasty.
Yeah, well, I think the reason why we're surprised is because in those other instances, Jimmy had other options, and he was a valued commodity by a number of teams. And, you know, in Minnesota, I remember, man, even in training camp, there were ESPN national people who came here during training camp because the overwhelming sentiment at that point was, Jimmy is going to get traded to Miami from Minnesota at some point. Be there and be ready. I mean, it was that far down the line. But ultimately, he goes to Philadelphia because they had a better trade package to offer. And so what I'm saying is that Jimmy was a valued player and contract that a lot of other teams wanted. And so he could afford to be a bit of a pain because there was still going to be a bidding war and a decent return. I remember it was Robert Covington and I think a couple of first round picks, and nobody's giving that sort of deal right now for Jimmy Butler. That's where we're at. And so I think the only reason people I think may be surprised is if they felt like Jimmy Butler knew that this is the only place that he could go and play and play well and have a reasonable chance at potentially getting that contract that he's looking for. And I think people may have overestimated Jimmy's ability, I think, and frankly, the people around him to read the room and read the market and understand that there just isn't more than one team out there right now that's willing to give him that contract, and that team is unable to trade for him.
Clay Ferraro is joining us, sports anchor reporter for Local 10 in Miami. Clay, away from Jimmy for a second and looking at the Heat with the guys in the locker room, Tyler Hero said, "We have enough." Haywood Highsmith said the vibes are great off the floor and in the locker room as well. What's your biggest takeaway from this six-game road trip? I know playing without Bam, it didn't look good against the Clippers in the second and third quarter, but I do think overall there's been some positive takeaways from Jaime Jaquez Jr., his role increasing, and obviously everybody wants to point to Nikola Jovic. It looked great against L.A., but overall I think it's been positive for the kids who are getting more playing time.
Well, it has, and I think this adds to the whole, look, the Miami Heat really don't care that much one way or the other whether this gets done right now because, okay, what are our options here? Let's say Jimmy Butler doesn't come back. Well, this team with an unengaged or unhealthy Jimmy Butler was not going to win the East anyway. You know, if he's not playing 100% and he's not 100% healthy and fully locked in, this team wasn't going to win the East anyway. So what's the next best thing to that? Play your young players. See what you've got. Develop them. Build some hope for the future and kind of set a roadmap for, okay, who is the next veteran, I don't want to say superstar, but who is the next missing piece that you can add in there and maybe feel like if you put him in there with Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler and whichever one of these younger players emerges as key parts of your core moving forward, see who that next guy might be. But you can find out for the rest of this year who's going to step up and who are going to be the young pieces to that core that you want to keep long term. So I just think it all does come back to Jimmy in the sense that the fact that they're able to go on the road, they're able to kind of form this bond with some of the younger guys, and you know that bunker mentality that, hey, Jimmy may not want to be here, but we got a bunch of guys that do, and they're all fighting for jobs, they're fighting for their financial security, and they're fighting together. I mean, really, what are the Heat losing right now with all this? I just feel like this all comes back to if Jimmy isn't going to play at 100%, the next best thing for the Miami Heat is let's see what we've got with these younger guys. And I think we're seeing some pretty good things right now.
And Clay, with, like you said, like the Jimmy camp, and then it's really Pat Riley, you know, pulls all the strings where they're not on the same page. There's two sides that can't agree upon it. Jimmy wants a long-term extension. You even said it, like the league has kind of said, we don't covet you as that long-term extension guy, but people want to pick sides. Let me know, Clay. Am I crazy? I've been out here since 05. I watched Shaq Wade win one. I watched the Big Three era, 2 out of 4. I've watched him rebuild and rebuild where, like, I think I'm going to default to Pat is right on this. When two sides don't agree in the Heat organization, I'm going to go with Pat Riley on any decision he makes.
Yeah, and listen, I think bottom line, this is coming down to the contract, and I'm sure that there have been hurt feelings along the way about things that were said, how they were said. I've said from the beginning, I felt like if there were one thing that Pat Riley could have done differently, I think the whole, keep your mouth shut thing, because I think what that did was it kind of inserted some unnecessary animosity, like it kind of a talking point for people who wanted to jump on Jimmy Butler's side in this whole thing and make it seem like it was more about respect than it was about the money. But it's about the money. It's about the contract extension. And listen, whether it is purely financial or not, or the idea that you know Jimmy felt like he's done enough to where he deserved the Heat to repay him, and it's not just the money, but it's the fact that they're willing to do it, like just the gesture of doing whatever it is. It comes back to the contract extension, and the bottom line right now is, all that you need to know is that the only team that is willing to give Jimmy Butler that max contract extension right now is Phoenix, because they're hoping it gets them off the Bradley Beal contract because they made another bad decision. If the only team that's willing to make that decision is a team that is doing it to cover a different bad decision, the Heat are in the right here as far as the business side of this and the team building side of it goes.
Well, maybe things are in the works because, Clay, as you're joining us right now, we got a Shams Charania bomb. It's not involving Jimmy Butler, but it is involving the Phoenix Suns. The Hornets are trading Nick Richards, center, and 1 second-round pick to the Phoenix Suns for Josh Okogie and 3 second-round picks. That doesn't have anything to do with Miami, but who knows? Maybe they're moving things around to try to get this thing in motion. Either way, Clay.
Well, can I offer an alternate?
Yes.
I mean, what if it means that they know that there's no possibility if anything gets done, so they're trying to build around the core that they have? I just think if you're already giving up assets, if you're Phoenix, I mean, what does that say?
Right.
You know? And so I don't know. You can go one way or the other. I just felt like that when you immediately told me that they were giving up more second round picks than they were receiving, I just think that's kind of a red flag to me that, you know, they don't really know where this is going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair point. Clay Ferro, before I let you go, I made a decision yesterday. We've been talking about it on the show a couple times, and every time I bring it up, Crowder, I think, loses a little more respect for me with each passing moment. But yesterday, bottom line, I picked up a burrito, paid for it, came to the studio. I'm in a bind. I'm in a crunch. Time limit. I have a small amount of time to eat and then start the show. I bite into my burrito, and first bite, a long hair, was inside my burrito. What would you do? Would you eat the? Would you kind of just face the music and say, "Hey, it is what it is. It's a hair. I gotta power through." Or are you throwing the burrito out?
I'm powering through. I'm sifting through to make sure that there is no other hair. And okay, I don't. You know what? I'll send you a different answer off air because I feel like I need to ask some more probing questions that may or may not be appropriate. So I think I'll just I'll leave my back. But in general,
it was a long hair
on the side of eating the food.
Long hair. It was somebody's hair, like actual hair.
Okay. I mean, look. You know, I had to like ask a little
fair.
Bit deeper question, right?
It's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd probably look through and make sure there was nothing else and chow down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did. I don't feel good. I don't feel great about the decision, Clay, but you know, these burritos nowadays, $18. I spent the money. I'm sitting here. I'm going to work all night. I don't have time to go order something out. Like I looked around in shame. I pushed the hair into the garbage can. And I crushed that burrito, man. I finished
it. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't care. I was having this talk with somebody yesterday about like having three kids, and our first kid, we were like we gotta wash hands, we gotta sanitize everything before we eat. Like then the second one, we were like traveling in the airport, and it was like, okay, well, only one handful of goldfish, but you can still eat something. But by the time we had our third kid, like we're traveling and eating goldfish crackers off the airport floor. So you know, at some point, you just give up on the whole germ thing.
But Clay, this is different, Clay. Like, what if it was a fingernail in there? Like, this is nasty. You don't know these people.
Man, you might be changing my mind on
this. No, don't do that.
Now I kind of feel like I hadn't.
But a fingernail is different than one strand of hair.
Yeah.
One strand of hair.
Crowder, one strand of hair. People lose hair. No, nobody's losing fingernails, like, randomly. I mean, a fingernail? You're going to compare a fingernail to a strand of hair? What are we doing
here? Are there more germs in a loose fingernail than there are in a loose strand of hair? I feel like we need to do an investigation into which one of these things is more potentially harmful.
Oh. And they're both dead cells that your body has, dead cells that grow fingernails and hair. A fingernail is a piece of hair.
Clay Ferreiro from Local 10.
Leave it to Kenny to turn this into a science lesson.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, Bill Nye, settle down over there. Clay Ferreiro, I genuinely appreciate you and appreciate your time. We will talk again soon.
Thanks, Solana. Thanks, Bill Lye, the science guy.
Appreciate it, Clay.
Clay Ferreiro from Local 10.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Crowder, did you find your tooth?
Hawk and Crowder.